Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Revived Thoughts is a production of Revive Studios.
This is Troy and Joel, and you are listening to Revive Thoughts.
Hey everybody, we have another revived conversation coming at you today. This is a type of episode where Troy and I discuss something in relation to church history and how it affects our lives today. We have covered the gamut. We've talked about money. We've talked about social, economical situations in church history and how they apply today. Today, Troy had the idea to talk about technology.
I think the reason this episode has kind of stood out to me is this is from early on in Revive Thoughts history. I can't even remember how early on, probably from the first year we did it. There was this sermon I was reading by D.L. Moody, and he had this quote that has kind of always stuck with me. And I remember reading it and going, huh. But he basically was talking about how technology, he was talking about the spread of the gospel and how the gospel is moving around the world. And he was kind of calling out his congregations. And he was like, you guys should be doing so much more than you are. He said, you know, like, look at what the telegram can do. Like, you can send a message from one side of the country to the other, and it gets there in, like, you know, a few minutes. He's like, think of what we could be doing. Think of how many messages we could be sending out to the world and moving the gospel without even having to be in the same room as the people, so much faster than the printing press, and we're not using it to share the gospel in the ways that we should, and we're not getting the word of God out as much as we can. He's like, what a shame. And Moody was saying basically, like, imagine what Martin Luther or John Calvin or some of those early guys could have done if they just had a telegram. And he's like, here we are with our telegrams, our great technology, and we're failing to get the gospel out. And of course, I don't know if you're feeling the same way I did, but hearing that 200 years later, I was like, you know, reading that, I was like, whew, man, we would have really made D.L. Moody, I think, a bit disappointed if he had such high expectations for the telegram. What would he think of all the technology, you know, that we have today, and how much these technologies can be used, could be used to share the gospel and live godly lives. And yet, I think if I'm speaking not but for just only myself, hopefully, it oftentimes is not. And oftentimes these technologies are actually snares to our walks with God. And I just have always thought about that, where I'm like, wow, what would, you know, what would, and I even throw this probably question, I probably put this question on Twitter, now known as X, I guess, probably once every 2 or 3 months, but I say, like, what would Martin Luther be like on Twitter? And I'm not the first person to ask that question, but it's always fun to kind of get the responses. But just thinking about, how do we use technology? Are we using technology in a way that would really impress the world? And how are we supposed to use technology? Like, what does church history bring to bear on the way that we use these devices today? Because I actually think that, like D.L. Moody said, I think they actually do have some thoughts on how to use these things.
Yeah, and I feel like we come at it in this conversation from a few different key points, because I am, some would say, pretty tech savvy. You know, like, I am into that tech life.
Joel is being modest. Joel is way good at tech. He's tech guy. Like, he's pretty smart. He does super good research on what equipment to buy, and he knows what he's talking about. Him and my wife can sit there and read through Amazon and be like, you got to buy this speaker, or you got to buy this microphone. And I'm like, I cannot tell you the difference between one or the other. I couldn't. It is literally Greek to me.
Troy is He's young in body, but in spirit, he is a 89-year-old man
that 1,000%
is complaining about his day where all you had to do was put the stylus on the vinyl yes. record and have the music play. You didn't have to mess with it.
Finally, can we get in good music, not the music the kids listen to today, okay? I'm talking the good stuff back from those days.
You want the warbly... record player.
I will say, like, I drive my kids crazy with this because I teach students, and I mean, I can't tell you how many times I just go, I look around the room, I go, put your tech away, put the laptops down, put your tablets down. You're gonna get a piece of paper and you're gonna write notes the old-fashioned way because you're not paying attention. And they struggle. The students cannot, like, some of them can, but many of them cannot multitask, and many of them are not even trying. They're trying to play video games or something like that. Not trying to give you an insight into how the world of high schoolers work, especially because every once in a while they'll tell me they're listening, which is always kind of weird to think about. But Joel and I could not be probably more opposite ends of the spectrum if you, like, went and looked for two people who were going to have the opposite ends of the spectrum. And yet, I feel like which we say this while we're both on a podcast talking to people while we're in different countries. So, you know, we have that going for us. And yeah, I feel like there's kind of two general approaches to discussions on technology. And they're both right in a sense. And that is, on the one side, we have new tech. Like D.L. Moody said, we have these technologies. We should be using them to glorify God. How do we use all these new technologies today to get the message of the gospel out there and to reach as many as people as possible? And then there's the reverse message, which is technology is such a dangerous trap. There's so many people who are getting their lives ruined it for various ways. How do we as Christians live separate from that and live a God-honoring, holy lifestyle where we show that we're different from the world by not being trapped by technology and all the technology around us?
I think it has always been the same, right? I mean, we can look at today's day and age, and arguably, we've had a great technology boom in the past century, and that's great. But there has always been luxuries of modern society that have been luring and distracting for everyone, you know, for citizens. I mean, look at a lot of Paul's complaints to the Church of Corinthian and other letters. People are finding plenty of things to keep themselves from walking in step with the Spirit. That's nothing new, and I don't think nothing that could be attributed exclusively to the introduction of modern-day technology.
I agree. I think so. I'm sure there are people at the time at the Telegram booths going, you guys are going to get addicted to these Morse codes, and you're going to spend all your time reading them and not enough time reading good old-fashioned
books. It's human
nature.
Yeah.
Right? Although what's funny, this is actually a history prediction I saw one time where it was like 150 years ago, and it was back when they had those, what are those, like, xylophone thingies where, like, you would record your voice. Is that what they were called? What are they called? Those phonograph thingies.
I still don't know what you're talking about, but keep going.
The old thing where it would record your voice on, like, a disc. And that old thingamajig, which I should know, because in my spirit, that's probably the kind of stuff I would have liked. There was this, I remember this guy was basically writing down, like, if we let them record our voices in the phonographs, we should destroy the technology, burn the blueprints, get rid of them. Because if we do that now, think about it. In the future, people could put giant phonographs behind walls and record everything you say, and you could be recorded and you wouldn't even know it. And on the one hand, that sounds absolutely ridiculous. Like, why would we put these giant recording devices behind walls? And then yet on the other side of it, isn't that exactly the world we live in now? Where how many times do you walk into a store? How many times are you on camera a day and you don't even know it, right? Like, I mean, you're constantly being filmed and recorded. Your voice is probably heard on other people's stuff all the time. And you don't even think about it, right? Like the world that guy feared of giant phonographs recording you through a wall was nothing compared to the actual world we live in. And we really don't think about it. So there's this one side of it where, like, there's always a warning with technology that this technology could go bad. And on the other side of it, you can't stop it. Like, technology is very much like Thanos from Iron Man. It just feels very inevitable. Like, every time people scream, stop, don't do that anymore, it always gets worse, right? When people created the atomic bomb, they were like, this is the worst thing ever. We shouldn't do it. And 5 minutes later, we created a much stronger version of it called the hydrogen bomb, right? Like, I mean, we just, technology has this inevitability, unlike almost anything else, where the more it feels like we try to rein it in, the more it just continues to spread and spread. Now, one positive side that I see in church history that doesn't get talked about a lot, but having listened to every episode of Martyrs and Missionaries, this one really stands out to me. Travel is so different now because of technology. I fly to Indonesia. I just flew back this summer. It's a long trip. I don't like making it. It's several days of traveling on an airplane and layovers and all that nonsense. But boy, you know, it is a lot faster than it used to be, right? In the 1800s with the best ships, that was a 3 to 5 month traveling. And that was with the best, fastest ships. And 200 years before that, you know, why weren't there many missionaries to Indonesia? Because nobody could get there. Nobody could even get there alive. Technology in the traveling world has connected us in ways that would blow our minds. When I think of like Hudson Taylor or John G. Payton or some of these great missionaries of the past, William Carey, if they could travel at the speeds that we do, if they could just hop on a plane and go to another continent and be there in like 36 hours or 24 hours, they would be so amazed that we live with that technology every day and that we don't just thank God for it constantly, I think. And I think they would go, do you know how hard it was to get missionaries on the field when basically you would get on a boat and there's a very good chance you would never see your family again? It would be years before you did. And when you get out there, you'd be so lucky to make another trip home, and you guys can do it in a day. I think they would be blown away that we are so sleepy in the world of missions when, in that sense, we have it so easy.
It's interesting to see how, society acclimates and transitions, shifts into a new, society altogether, in ways that we look back on previous societies and go, why did you act like that? Why did you do that? And it's something that we in the moment, can't really pin down or point a finger at most of the time. I feel like there are some, you know, definitely defining moments in history, but a lot of the time it's a gradual just movement of society. I saw a really interesting video about how clocks kind of just change society altogether, because for, you know, the majority of human existence, there were no clock towers in your Times Square that were telling people what time it was. And so the whole society of work was different. You know, people worked less. You know, your start and stop times were less defined, things like that. But when you could,
I guess you wouldn't have like a 15-minute break, because who would even know if it's been 15 minutes or not?
Right. You'd have like an afternoon break, you know, like, or, you know, like kind of your siesta style of work day, where you would take a break in the afternoon, maybe take a nap if you want. And like, it seems like pre-clocks, people worked like maybe 6 hours a day. Like that was like a full day's work. It seems because again, how do you regulate and judge that thing? You have to go with kind of the cadence of the body and the cadence of the day. I don't know. This video just really explained how clocks affected capitalism in a way that no one could really predict, you know, before that. Because when you can, define start days and end days, and what's more is when you can define things that people can spend money on with money that they can work more to get, it fuels a capitalistic society. And today in America, that's all society is. It's just one big capitalistic society, and you can make a very sound argument that it all rooted back on clocks being introduced in society. I don't know. The video did a much better job explaining it than I did.
Yeah, I think you did good. I will say, I have way more thoughts on where we get the modern workday from, because this also comes from manager theory. So in the late 1800s, this basically idea that you could order society, and these scientists basically tried to apply that to how, like, if you can order animals and you can order the cells, why couldn't you order humans? And so they blended this idea of management society, where basically these guys, and you can go look it up, like look at management theory. By the way, one of the biggest proponents of management theory, who loved it so much, he invited the founder of it to Italy to speak, was Mussolini. So, I mean, this thing had a huge impact on the world, this management theory. And this guy basically created this idea, like, if we put people into this place and they watch your hours and consult you, we can build a workday that will, like, control the workers and we can get the most output out of it. It's a crazy thing, management theory, and it kind of goes under the radar, but so much of the world that we live in today was based on these scientists turning around and going, we think we can get humans to work at, like, a maximum output level. And they would go consult factories, consult businesses, say, hey, if you do this, your factory will be better. And the funny thing was, a lot of their, like, results and evidence wasn't really, like, didn't really pan out, but just the idea that it sounded scientific worked for a lot of people. They were like, sure, let's try it because science is saying, you know, it sounds really good on theory. So that's kind of like the other half of it. After the clocks were invented, the science of management theory. So anyway, I know that if that's of interest to you as it is to me, I'm sure you really enjoyed these last couple minutes there. Sorry, Joel.
No, I mean, it makes sense. Who doesn't want to maximize performance, even just the idea of it, whether you can actually do it or not, you know, but the idea of it is worth investing in for a lot of people. One piece of technology that I can think of that changed the course of church history forever, a little machine you might have heard of called the printing press.
I was going to say that, Joel. I am glad you jumped in on that one, because that was actually, it was funny because you were like, a lot of technologies, we don't really notice their impact over time. And as soon as you said that, I was like, but there is one, and that is the printing press. Time literally shifts after the printing press hits Europe. And yes, technically the printing press was probably invented in China. However, it really is different when it comes to Europe in 1453. And there is just a difference in the world when you can read something and you can mass produce that item that you're reading. And I don't think, I mean, we're right now talking about this in the month of October. And of course, in the month of October always strikes the mind of Protestants, reminds us all of what Martin Luther did on October 31st. If you don't know, a lot of people celebrate that as kind of Reformation Day, or remembering of Martin Luther nailing the 95 Theses and kind of starting this whole thing. It has been pointed out by many people, would that have actually changed the course of history without the printing press? Because somebody took those 95 theses, took them to the printing press, and started making mass copies of them. And mass copies of them back then is probably, like, you know, maybe at most, like, what, 100 a day? But that was enough, right? That got the message rolling on out there, and people were paying, you know, a penny to read Luther's 95 theses. If you had to take each of those theses by hand and write them down, his message very likely would not have spread. How much of even everything we look around us today, Christianity-wise, what exists? Because 100 years, you know, not even 100, about 50, 60 years before Martin Luther,
right,
somebody invented the printing press.
Yeah, I've often had that thought. From a purely sociological viewpoint, I mean, obviously, when the Holy Spirit's at work, crazy things happen, but from a purely societal viewpoint, I don't think the Great Reformation happens if the printing press did not exist in that era. Like, that is, because we see other pre-Reformation attempts, pre-printing press, that didn't take hold, and I think that's a huge factor about that. Communication is such a huge facet to what happened with the Great Reformation.
Yeah, and you just look at how much writing and reading, if you look at the reformers, how much they did. Martin Luther, I think somebody said to just read all of his words for 10 hours a day, just that he wrote down. I believe it was Brian Wolfmuller who said that if you did that every day for 10 hours a day, it would take you 10 years to read everything he wrote down. I don't know if that's true, can't verify it myself, but still, that's a lot of writing. Obviously, you'll never get it done. Each of these guys, John Calvin, all those guys from that era that we've talked about on our show, they wrote so much, and they would write back and forth. They would respond back and forth. And it's just hard to imagine that would have been capable without that printing press. People often talk about, well, you know, this was also around the same era that schooling really came to be, as the Protestants wanted to teach their children to read and write. But could you have done that without the printing press? Geneva, where John Calvin runs that city and turns it into this bastion of Protestantism, that, you know, we've talked about the good and bad sides of it, but one of the really good sides of being in Geneva is they had, I think it was 41 different printing press, like publishing houses inside of that one city. It was a very literate, I mean, it was a completely literate city, and they were getting educational materials flowing out of them to the entire world, all because of the printing press, all because they took this piece of technology that to them was cutting edge, right? And they ran with it and used it to transform the entire world. And it is impossible to really fathom them doing it without using that printing press, without being on the cutting edge of what was going on there.
Yeah, I mean, at its root, it's about that communication. And I personally, that's something that resonates with me on a worldview level, on a Christian worldview level, God's desire to communicate with us, you know, that we see throughout the prophets, that we see throughout the scriptures that he provided for us, that we see through the embodiment of him in his son, Jesus, like that is things that I take personally in a good way. Like God really went out of his way to communicate to us, and that charge to communicate what he has communicated to us to others is one that again resonates with me in a deep way. My wife and I work as missionary videographers, so we travel all around the world and we document how God is working around the world. We make videos communicating, you know, what needs still exist around the world, and it's born from that same idea that we want to show people what God is doing. We want to show people people that still need to hear the gospel, needs that still exist. And we can do that in today's day and age in a way that we could never do that in the past. I mean, there were people that did things like this, but even 20 years ago, I mean, the way technology has progressed to where, I mean, the camera that's in your cell phone today, I couldn't have dreamt of working with 20 years ago. And now I can take a backpack with me that has 8K cameras in it and capture people and interactions and stories in a way that people 40 years ago couldn't have dreamt of, because they would have had to haul giant film magazines around, expensive film magazines, you know? It's become so compact and so affordable to communicate on a visual level, on a very personal level, in a ways that society has never seen before. And I see that as a great tool and something that's, you know, the Lord can use to work in the hearts of people. And that's something that gets me really excited. But it makes me really, I feel privileged to be alive and doing this in this era. Because if I had the same burden again 50 years ago, I don't know what I would do. It would take an army of people. It would take several suitcase luggage, you know, things. It would take more money than I don't know how we would ever be able to raise. And today it's relatively easier and more affordable to do the exact same thing that would have been very challenging to do back then. So it's neat to see how technology has enabled us to tell stories about how God is working in that same way that, yeah, the printing press helped communicate. It's a vital part to our workflow. And again, almost on a Christian worldview level, I find it a duty, you know, a charge, a calling to be good stewards of technology, to use them to communicate what God has told us to communicate.
If I can kind of steer us in the opposite directions where my old man side hits it.
Technology is on fire, Troy. That's,
thank you. You just made such an inspirational usage of it. Yeah. And now I've got to come back on the other side because I think you're completely correct. But we would not be doing our audience service if we did not also point out that technology is also a huge pitfall. And I know I'm saying that so ironically, as I'm recording this on a podcast that 20 years ago, this technology was barely a thing, and people barely, you know, the idea, I don't even know if the word podcast had hardly even been invented yet. I think there's a story. We talked about it when we did our episode on St. Nicholas. Super good episode. You should go check it out. And I don't say super good because I think we're super amazing, but I love the shows that we've done. I love the research and the history. Like, I love the stories that we've been able to tell. I think they're super interesting. I love what we put out. I love what Revived Thoughts gets to do. And when the St. Nicholas episode happened, we talked about how when they started sending, like, Merry Christmas cards, it was partially because Britain had basically made it a penny. One penny could get you a card sent to anyone. But quickly, they had this problem. No, this is actually St. Valentine's. This is St. Valentine's Day episode. And they had this problem where people started sending hate mail to each other. It was sending, like, because you could do it for one penny, you could anonymously send these horrible, horrible cards to people on Valentine's Day that were just vulgar, mean, cruel. And it was just amazing to me how quickly humans got this new piece of technology, got this advancement, and instantly turned it into something nasty. Like, sure, there were good cards going through the mail, but they had a real, like, massive problem of just these poor, you know, women checking their mailbox on Valentine's Day and having like 30 cards calling them ugly. And it was like, whoa, like what happened that humans can just do that, basically, where we'll take something so naturally good and flip it on its head. We had this sermon. It was our first sermon by D.L. Moody. Wow, this is like a D.L. Moody episode. But anyway, D.L. Moody did a sermon on temptation, and he talked about these four types of temptation. And when you first hear them, they sound so quaint. But when you really think about them, they're all the same. They're all the same sins we have today. And the sins were going to the theater, spending too much time and leisure at the park. What was the other two? Spending too much time watching the athletes play at your local sports arena, and reading the newspapers too much. And, like, on the surface, those complaints sound really quaint to us, don't they? It's like, I don't go to the local play all that often. I don't read newspapers. Do they even sell newspapers in most places? You know, this is not something we can really relate to. But if you boil down and actually, like, look at what he was saying, you would see that he said, like, look, the theater is full of sensual entertainment that's either violent or sexual, and you Christians shouldn't be a part of that. And that's certainly still true today. How many massive millions and maybe even billions of dollars come out of Christians' pockets every year, month even, to go towards entertainment complexes that create, you know, sexually lewd, vulgar, violent, profane things that are not honoring to God, right? And we're certainly not innocent of that. Newspapers. We don't read newspapers, maybe, but certainly there are many of us who spend way too much time reading the news and getting way too involved in the daily, day-to-day minutia of that kind of stuff and letting that control our lives. Leisure. How many people just spend technology and all their time relaxing and trying to relax after a hard day? And that can also be a real problem for us. And then lastly, sports. That has not changed either. Many people use technology to keep up to date, minute to minute, on these sports. And not that these are all necessarily evil things, but just, has technology helped us grow closer to our walk in God, or do we let some of these things control us? And I think that D.L. Moody is right. Even though it's been 140 years and the shape has changed, technology has still kept us in those four basic areas where we do spend too much time, many times, on those four basic things. The way we do it has changed. The technology has changed. But if anything, we're probably more addicted. Instead of just reading a morning newspaper for 2 hours and putting it down, we can follow the news all day long. We can follow sports all day long. We can watch sports all around the world at all times. It's actually gotten worse, right? And I think if we were to go back in time and tell Moody or tell Calvin or tell Luther, you wouldn't believe it. But in the future, people will be addicted to this little glowing box, so much so that they will sit in a room in a restaurant full of people and they won't talk to each other because they will just be sitting there communicating on their devices. We've all been at a restaurant. We've all seen it where we're out and about. We look around and we're chatting with our friends and we realize we're the only ones talking in the restaurant. Every single other person is just staring at their phone. And I think if we told people 150, 200 years ago, that's what the future would look like, they would go, that is so much more dystopian than any of our predictions could have been. We could never imagine a world where people do that kind of thing. And I promise you, even if you've never seen that, because I will say when I visited America, it was refreshing to see that a lot of people are still having face-to-face conversations at restaurants. Most people kind of realize it's rude. But living over in Asia, I've lived in China, Cambodia, and now Indonesia. And there have been many times where I enter a restaurant and an entire place is packed and everyone is just staring at their phones, not talking to each other. And it's a little unnerving and it's a little sad. And it's just, I don't know, it's just something I feel like with addictions to pornography or addictions to video games or addictions to just being online, people selling their, you know, body, their physical cells, or just the way we use technology, it is such an amazing thing that can glorify God, but it is also so dangerous if we just look at it as a good thing, because there are many, many people whose children or whose own spouses or whose parents even have been just absolutely wrecked by the way technology has been used. And I go back to that D.L. Moody sermon and go, I think in a lot of ways he nailed it. Like, these are the four temptations that we still are dealing with. People are still obsessed with those same four things. Just the way to get to it is easier now than ever before.
Yeah, we're definitely in the peak, the renaissance of personal technology in that sense. But I do think it'll even out eventually. We will reach an equilibrium at time. We often talk about society having this pendulum effect over the course of hundreds of years, where it'll swing in one direction pretty severely, and then it'll normalize, and then it'll swing back in the other direction pretty severely. Having a personal computer in your pocket is a new phenomenon, and people are very excited about it. And I totally get the pull and allure that it has. I fully expect, 100 years from now, there to be a person-to-person movement, you know, where there will be a more non-materialistic, monastic movement that'll sweep over the world, where people will react to what is happening to society now in a way that will bring it back into an equilibrium, maybe swing back the other direction before it comes back again. But it is the same story of history in general. I feel like in first, second, third century Rome, people coming to just think of like the industrialization of cities, plumbing. You know, you're getting running water, you're getting a lot of your labor being done up by animal forces now, you know, freeing up a lot of workforce. It's introducing new luxuries, bathhouses, you know, ways, plumbing, things that people...
All bad things that we don't like.
Well, I mean, things that could introduce concepts like slothfulness, you know, in a life or something like that. When you have a theater, you know, down the road where you can see performances, when you don't have to work because you have your animal turning a wheat stone or something like that, it frees you up to get up to no good, or to be more selfish with your time and things like that. It's something that people have always interacted with, and it's something that always comes back to how a person manages their time. Today, I think it's manifested in a way because of the mass population of the planet. We have cities packed full of millions of people, we have billions of people on the planet, and so it's affecting society at a much larger scale than I feel like it's been able to do in a city of 500,000, 2,000 years ago. But conceptually, I think it's still the same. And I think, again, maybe not in our lifetimes, but eventually the pendulum will swing in the other direction.
You're so optimistic. I always worry that technology, we learned everything we need to know about technology with the Tower of Babel, which is in Genesis chapter 11. Humanity gets this cool new technology called brick, and they immediately use it to build a tower that they try to make themselves secure in. It's supposed to be waterproof, and they use it to make they're trying to make a name for themselves and make themselves famous. And the Lord scatters them because of their arrogance. But I always think that, man, like, when humans get technology, they try to use it to make themselves secure, and they try to use it to make themselves famous.
Yeah, and look what happened. They got knocked on their butt. Like, granted, it was due to God's divine interaction, but sometimes that's what it takes, and that's might be what our society takes. And there might be some catastrophic global event that
will
that's part of society. I mean, you look at the Black Death. I mean, there have been catastrophic global events throughout history.
Sure, but it's so much more fun to read about society. The Black Death than to live through a Black Death. I mean, that's why you go, wow, could you imagine? And you put the book down and go, I don't want to imagine it.
I'm sure there's plenty of catastrophe ahead, hopefully.
Well, again, actually, if we can, we actually haven't mentioned this, and I don't want this episode to go on forever. I have a positive thought to leave everybody on, or at least kind of an application. Maybe it's my teachery, you know, pastoral side. I got an application, but you know what? You want to talk about a massive problem of technology we didn't even get to is the way technology is used directly for evil. I mean, there are places like an entire country called China where they have a massive social surveillance system. There's 700 million cameras in that country, one camera for every two people. And they can, I mean, they have a social credit score for all of their citizens. Their people are constantly being watched and graded based on how they live their lives. And it affects everything from what they can do, whether they can travel, what they can purchase, et cetera. I mean, we're talking about how technology is mostly used kind of in the West. But as somebody who's lived in the communist nation, it is certainly being used in the world to keep people under control. And as somebody who also has a foot in the third world, living as I have in different countries there, technology is also, it's vastly changing the way even societies that are, it's kind of weird because out here I see technology and I can order food on my phone and it shows up with a motorcycler bringing it to me. On the one hand, it's like, wow, technology is here. And on the other hand, it's not super uncommon to see like an ox pushing farm food through a village not too far from here either. And it's just like, you're really, you know, and see older people still gathering their rice by hand. And so you really can see how the world has sped up and the world is still the same. It's really odd and an interesting thing to see what parts of technology have struck the world. And yet that same person who's gathering rice with their hands also has a smartphone. And it's just a weird dichotomy of the world that we live in today, how technology doesn't just affect this one side of the world. Today, it affects everybody all at once. You know, when they invented the muskets and started using them in Europe, it didn't really change life that much for people in the middle of Africa, and it wouldn't change life for them for a very long time, right? It took a while before that technology reached their doorstep. It took a while before it reached the people. Now, it had a huge effect when it got to the people in South America, but it took a while for it to get there. Now a phone is invented that we all thought was high technology 12 years ago, and the whole world's using it. The whole world is using it at the same time, and that is just... it's just wild how that aspect of things have changed. It's being used for good. And, you know, we're using it right now, hopefully, to edify God's name and to put podcasts and technology and resources out there that are good. But there are people out there using these same things for massive evil that people couldn't have dreamed of. And it again, it's just this thing that you cannot stop it on the one hand, but you also need to be aware that in your own personal life, it can be a real danger or real blessing. Now, my application, my walk away. You're listening to this episode. You go, okay, you guys have talked about it. It can be good. It can be bad. What do I do? In your own, I think about the pamphleteers in the 1800s, especially. These guys had these knowledge. They finally printing press had gotten going, and it got to the point where like people could do their own printing in their own house. Like wasn't hit control P and print. Like it would take hours to kind of like get it to work, but you could make your own pamphlets pretty cheaply on your own. And J.C. Ryle specifically spent like 10 years making pamphlets and getting pamphlets ready with his sermons. Nobody was reading them. Nobody cared about J.C. Ryle, but he was getting his stuff ready. And these people were getting, you know, their little pamphlets you hand out, the tracts. They were creating tracts. They weren't going around the world with these things. These weren't, you know, going viral, but they were creating them in their own hometowns, and they were affecting the people day to day. And Hudson Taylor, someone passed a tract to him, and he became a Christian, and that completely changed all of world history, and especially that in Asia. We can't control the fact that technology will be used by evil dictators. We can't control the fact that technology is this massive thing that it can cause great pain. But you can control the technology you're using. You might not be able to go viral. You may not be the next world speaker, preacher, teacher that affects the world. But you can use what God has given you, the blessings that God has given you, your social media profiles, your time online to glorify God. Now, that's just not an excuse to go spend all day online and not spend time with your family or the people around you. Those are the people that should definitely take priority. But when you are online, how are you affecting? Are you just a reader? Are you just an observer? Are you putting nothing out there? because I worry that if I put nothing out there, I'll be like the servant who was given the coin. And what did you do? Well, I buried it in the ground. You have this technology that D.L. Moody could only dream of, right? And you just bury it. You don't do anything. You don't even engage the conversations. You don't even put posts out there. You don't share anything. Nobody knows you exist. I don't know. Is that the best way to use it? You're online all day, but you don't add. I think a lot of us are in danger of that. And I go, no, I don't want to have this access to technology and never add anything. I want there to be something of Christ, hopefully, coming out of what I do. And even though it needs to be controlled, I need to not be addicted to it. I know that the technology wants me to be addicted to it. At the same time, we can reach audiences and we can reach people and we can certainly reach the people in our own lives when they add us on social media, they engage with us, and we can share Christ. And like those pamphleteers or like those track guys, we can't affect everybody, but let our messages go out to the people in our circle. And if all the Christians right now just switched their on mode and said, with our social media, with our presences online alone, not even talking about all the other technology like cameras and everything else we could use, but if we just used what we have on our social medias, if we just turn all of them into beacons for Christ, and we share good resources, we share good YouTube channels, we share good people, and we share good quotes, and we get engaged, I think we could see a lot of good really come from that. And I think we need to, that's what we need to be doing. I think that, and there are many people who do it well, but I think a lot of us are just kind of quiet. We just don't do a lot. And I think that's something we need to work on changing, is using that small sphere of influence and making it as much a positive. If you are on social media, one of the things I did early on with Revive Thoughts, I started following a bunch of Christian pages, all different types, speakers, meme makers, all kinds of things out there. And it actually really, really blessed me. And my social media time went from a time of just watching what my friends from high school were doing or something like that, to really learning a lot of information, reading stuff I'd never read before, and seeing debates and things play out. And it was actually really, really positive. And even just a lot more Bible verses in my feed than it was before. And so I always recommend people do that. You have a social media, almost all of you probably do, because you found us probably through Twitter or something like that. Go use it to glorify God. And when God says, how did you use this amazing piece of technology that a man like Martin Luther could never dream of, you can say, I shared Bible verses. I tried to be an encouragement. I didn't always do it perfect. And I think that that would be a really good thing. If all of us did that together, I think that that would make a real impact on the world.
All righty. I think that is a great way to button up this revived conversation. Do you have thoughts about technology? Is there something that we missed that you really want us to chime in on? Or do you have suggestions for future revived conversation topics? Email is in the description of this podcast, revivethoughts@gmail.com. Give us an email. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to take your suggestions and talk about them. So thank you, dear listener, for being a part of Troy and I's rambles.
Hopefully it wasn't too bad. This has been a fun episode, one I've been thinking about. All right, if you enjoyed this episode, we also hope that you will share it with other people. Tell other people about what you were listening to and say, hey, check out this Revived Thoughts episode. Maybe you'd say, hey, what do you think? Are these guys right? Is this wrong? Do you know these stories? Did they mention D.L. Moody too much in one episode? Probably. But feel free to send that around and ask your friends using technology, right? We're not going to be able to send that via a letter. So send that out there. All right. This is Troy and Joel, and this is Revived Thoughts.